if everybody will just stand up and go around and a little fellowship and shake everyone's hand. And I'm going to promise you, I'm going to let you out before 3 o'clock. Right. Let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. I don't think I've preached this since I've been here. I may have read the scripture, but I don't think I've preached this right here. But the Lord laid my heart on this one and another one during the week. So, and I think the Lord will have me to preach this one this morning. I just want to be mindful to His leadership. And because if he's not the head of it, and if I ain't in the center of his will, my prayer is that he'll just take and set me down and allow something else to happen. But here in Mark chapter 2, We have a story of an individual that cannot walk, that's bedridden. And I believe today that we can say today also that we have people that can walk, and we have people that can run, but yet they're still bedridden. They're bedridden because of serving the Lord. Now, we need to be serving the Lord now more than we ever have before. As Christians, as individuals, because there's no greater time right now than the church has right now to go out and to knock on doors, just ask people, tell people about the Lord, because the laborers are few. We don't have many laborers anymore. But we know the field. The fields are here, the highways, the homes are here. They're at the time in the harvest. And I really don't know why I bring it up, but because I got another message on that, on the harvest. But where the fields are white unto harvest, they're ready for us to go out and share what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And like I tell anyone, I said, you don't need to know scripture. You don't need to know this, or you don't need to know that. You don't need to know anything about what the Bible says about some particular incidents or anything, or the parables or nothing like that. But if you're saved by God's grace, you have something that the people is dying to hear from. There are people out here around us are just dying to hear from the people. I mean, you can go up down the highway, and I can go up to any house on the highway. And if they're not in church, or I could go out right now and you can tell, well, they're not in church. And I can even go up to someone that's lost and start talking to them. And I can ask them, I says, have you ever been to Faith? Have you ever been to Faith Baptist? He says, no, I don't need it. I don't need to go to Faith. I can get all the preaching I want on the TV to you. Yeah, they can. But one thing about the TV tube that the TV cannot give them is the fellowship among the believers. If we didn't have the fellowship among one another and the closeness to where we can gather together and just thank the Lord for what He's done for us, allowing us to be able to meet again. If we can't do that, if we can't be blessed by that, something is wrong with our heart. Our heart is hardened. It's hardened to the point that the Lord cannot get to your heart. The Lord cannot get in and bless you. And that's the reason the whole of them don't come. Because they've got so used to coming to God's house that they can tell you right now, what goes on up at Faith? What goes on up there? Well, 10 o'clock, I think it's around 10 o'clock, they'll have Sunday school. And no doubt they might have prayer in Sunday school, and they'll have a Sunday school teacher to get up, and the Sunday school teacher will teach. And then when it comes to 11 o'clock, if you got enough for a choir, the choir will get up and sing, or you specials will get up and sing special songs, and you'd have prayer, and then you'd take up the tithes and the offerings, and then you may have another special or something, and then the preacher would go on and start preaching. And he usually got around 12, 15 or something like that. See, they know what goes on in the church. They know what goes on. But do they know what goes on in your life as far as the church is concerned? Do they know that what you're doing for the Lord is really for the Lord? Or is it for Donnie? Is Donnie patting himself on the back because he just comes and shows up? We need to let people realize and know whom we serve and how we got to meet him. We need to give him a testimony of our own life. And I believe if we give him a testimony of our own life, then they will see that, hey, they've been where Jesus was at one time in their life. They know him because he's done so much for them. Now, here in Mark chapter 2, in verses down through 1 through 12, we can see the story right here where the Lord himself was there in a home where in Capernaum, where he went and gathered with the other people in this particular city, and he was preaching. And not only was he just preaching, but he was telling the people what he was all about. And he wasn't just telling about himself, but he was telling the people about the Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ never bragged on himself. Never did. He always bragged on the Heavenly Father. Why? Because his Father, his Heavenly Father, sent him here. Not to do Jesus' will, but to do the Father's will. And we're not supposed to go out here and visit people for our self-gratification or our self-happiness or nothing like that. But we're supposed to go in the name of Jesus and letting people know what Jesus has done for our life. And I may not read all the 12 verses, but if I don't, you can go home and you can read the rest of them. And you may know exactly the 12 verses, all of them by heart. And that's good. But here, it says right here in verse 1 of chapter 2 in the book of Mark. St. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. We can stop right there and say that right there is something that I believe that the day that we're living in, the church has forgot about. They've forgot about coming to the house of the Lord and worshiping him. Worshiping him, why? Because if you're saved, you ain't gonna have to worry about going to hell. That right there is enough to just stand up here and shout about. This is something right here we can just go out here and just praise the Lord about. But we've got something else we've got to do. We know where we're going. We're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Do you know where you're going? I hope you do. And I hope it's heaven. But the people I hear that we come in contact, we don't know. When you speak in one-on-one, the only individual that you know the heart of is your own heart. You don't know the other individual. The only thing that you know about the other individual is through their own testimony. And yes, and they can have a testimony for the devil, and that will come out. But we'll see right here, not only was it noised, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was bore by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. This individual right there, he just got saved. So what did he say? He says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Why? Because this individual that was lying in the bed, this individual that could not walk, could not get up and go to church, but he had other individuals. He had close friends, evidently. They must have knew him, knew something about him, knew that he could not make it to church. And he had four individuals. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and with all three of them, and all three of their love. He had four there that was taking care of him and looking to him and wanting him to hear the gospel. Now we know that no one can get saved without the preaching of God's word. It's the foolishness of the preaching. It's the foolishness of what we are doing. It's foolishness to the people out here in the world. I mean, first time I went to church back in 1980, and it probably been 25, maybe 30 years before that I really was in church. And I didn't know what was going on at that time. But the only other time I'd been to church up until 1980 was when me and my wife had got married, and I didn't. The preacher he'd get up and he could say anything he wanted to. It didn't make no difference to me. Because I was in love. I didn't hear anything about what anybody said. I can't even go back and tell you what happened. Why? Because there's something special taking place in my life. Something was special. It took a special touch from the Heavenly Father. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit that touched my life, something special that grabbed a hold of my heart. And ever since then, I know I haven't been what I ought to be for the Lord. But I know that I'm not what I used to be. I know that I'm not lost. I know that I'm not going to hell. I know that where I'm going to heaven. And I have a burden on my heart about people I hear that's lost. And I have a burden for the people that is wayward and got out of church. I'm burdened down for them. I'm burdened down for the local church, because the local churches anymore, they are just trying to grab up numbers. And that's one thing that when I first come down here, that I loved, and I know it won't but a few of us. When I first come here, there won't be a few here. But one thing I loved about it, that I didn't see no board on the bulletin board. Now, how many you had for Sunday school? How many you had for the preaching service? And how much offering you come in? And how many Bibles? Hey, we don't need that to remind us. We don't need all of that to remind us. Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ that can remind us what we're doing. And he will remind us in a way where he can get a hold to our hearts. Because he will allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit, no one can do anything for God. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God living within you to do exactly what God the Father, God the Son wants you to do. And you have got to obey them. But it says, it was noised that Jesus was in the house. You know, me and Brother Bill was talking yesterday. We were coming into church and we was talking yesterday. I believe it was me and Brother Bill. I believe it was. Or somebody else was talking to, I forgot. But I was telling, it was Brother Bill or whoever it was, I was telling them that after I surrendered the call to preach, you know, God started opening little doors up. I'd go here and I'd go there to preach. But really, I was just learning. I was just trying to obey the Lord. I was trying to do what He asked me to do. And then my pastor at the time, Billy Scares, he asked me if I'd speak on a Wednesday night after I come before the church and surrendered to call to preach. And he asked me that one Sunday, asked me, said, "Would you mind filling in for me Wednesday night? I won't be here. I won't be in Richmond," because he was in the National Guard. And I did. Well, I went home and I prepared notes and everything, which I'd been preparing notes all the time. And ever since I surrendered to preach, because they told me, says, "Don't take it for granted now. You just called to preach and you ain't gonna get called on." Says, "You're liable to get called on the last very moment." And I went up there with notes. I bet you it was 5 or 6 notes on a full page like this. Note after note. I said, "I know I don't have it." And I told the people, I said, I just don't have the memory like I need. So I use notes. And I've got it written down. And I said, I know I got at least enough to do me for 20 minutes, if not 30. And I got up there and I started reading, and it lasted maybe 7, 8, maybe 10 minutes. And I was through. Had prayer. And then, bless Pat, I was so wired up and everything. And then, bless Pat, after the service and everything, I went back to the back door and I was just shaking people's hand, going around the church and everything. And one of the chairman of the deacon at that time, he says, "Go back at the back door and stand. You need to shake people's hands to come out. And then that way you can feel, you know, how they liked it or whatever." Which they're going to tell you if they like the message. If they hate the message, they're going to tell you they loved it. But the chairman and the deacon, he come down after he dismissed with prayer and everything, and he come down to the back of the door and everything, and he handed me an envelope. I said, "What's this?" He says, "Just a little love offering." I says, "What do you mean a love offering?" I hadn't been saved all that long. I saved maybe a year, but I didn't know exactly everything to go about in the proper way. So he took it out and he says, "Here's your little love offering. You go and spend it. You go buy you some books or whatever." I says, "No." I said, "You mean y'all pay Brother Billy for getting up here and preaching?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Man, you don't need to pay me. I don't want the money. Hey, it was a blessing unto me just to get up here and stand and preach behind a pulpit where I know some other godly men has preached." I felt so good about it. But the thing about it was the noise, the joy that was flooding my soul, if I'd have just let loose, I'd have probably still been running today. And probably wouldn't even slowed down.
That's how happy I was, and I wanted to serve the Lord. And that's one thing that I think that the church needs to get back to. We need to have some old-time worship in God's house. Old-time worship. Here we see that the only noise that you hear today is at the football games where our children is at. We'll go out there and we'll say, "You go get them. Go on, pitch that ball. Go on, bud. You can run that touchdown. You make that field goal for that basket." Everything in the world we will raise our voices to. But God's word says if we will not wave our hand toward heaven, then he will allow the storms to come by in our life, and the storms to come by our way that will take and take the limbs on the tree that's full of leaves and take it. And he'll have that tree. He's going to get his praise. He's going to get what's rightly due him. But I'm so thankful that I can praise him. I can thank him for what? For what he has done for my life, where he's brought me from. And that's the same way with this individual. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be able to get up out of this bed. And he wanted to go and serve the Lord. I believe it with all my heart. Because see, he didn't come. See, they didn't bring him in the front door. They didn't bring him in the side window. And I ain't so sure they even had a ladder. But they got this man up on the roof. When they got him up on the roof, what did they do? They knew exactly where the noise was coming from. They knew exactly what part of the house he was in. Hey, we need to let people know that we're here to serve the Lord. We need to let people know that we are here, that wants to serve him, want to see people saved. And yes, we need to come in and worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to come into the house of God to worship him. And we must leave to serve him. And in serving him means that we go out and we knock on the doors. We visit people. We call people. And we let them know that, hey, the church is here. It may not be as full as it was one time, but we are here. The Lord's here. And if we don't let the people know, they're not going to come. Because people today are hungry for the truth. I believe that with all my heart. And they're going to get the truth one way or another. Some people, they've been deceived by so much out here in the world. When they do go to church, you know, the preacher will be up there and he'll read scripture and everything. They say, "Well, I ain't never heard like that before." But you know something? What he read kind of made sense. See, they can go into some churches today and they can read what I believe that they're reading. And don't get me wrong. I believe out of the 66 books of the Bible, and you can take or NIV, the Living Translation, or what are all these other translations I hear, and out of the 66 books, at least you could get one, maybe two things out of it that you could take and use and lead someone to the Lord. But the thing about it is, after you lead them to the Lord, then what's going to happen? Then what's going to happen with their life? How are they going to live for the Lord? Are they going to live a consecrated, a dedicated life to him? or are they going to live a separated life? He says we must be separate. We must be separated. What are we supposed to be separated to? We're supposed to be separated from the world. Yes, we live in the world. Yes, and we of the world. We are here, and we go out here, and we have to commune with the world every day. But we don't have to be like them. We don't have to be like them because we have a testimony to live by. Now, I'm going to say this in closing. I left the church. And that I was a member of, I wanted to preach or whatever. But I left the church because of something happened . They was trying their very best. And they was doing it. Now this was two deacons. They got to the point that they just wanted the church doors to be open. And if the lost come in, the lost can sit on that pew and be comfortable. They didn't want the Holy Spirit there. They didn't want nobody there to worship the Lord. And I ended up leaving. Because of some things that they said to me that I would not tell you because I'm so embarrassed that come out of two individuals' mouths. But I did leave there saying, don't put it off on somebody else. Don't put it off on a visitor. Because it wasn't a visitor. Yes, we had visitors on homecoming. We had visitors. But don't put it off on them. You need to take the blame for it yourself. These two individuals go out visiting with them, knocking on doors. Only thing they ever want to talk about, if we was riding together, something like that, or the preacher got to the point he didn't really like it either. They would start talking about racing, start talking about football, what the team was and everything. I don't want to talk about that stuff. I got over that. I mean, I was an individual when I would spend maybe $50 or $100 a week. I had just buying these little lures and everything, plastic lures, to where I could end up going to Bugs Island or Hyco or Smith Mountain or Field Pot up there on a weekend. And majority of the time it was being on Sunday. But see, I purchased the boat. I had all the equipment. I had the depth finders and everything. You could see the fish going across that little screen and everything. And then you could see what's that? That's a little larger than that. That's got to be a catfish. But you know, I had all of that. But when I got saved, I come to find out it was something better to do with my life on Sunday and Saturday than it was to spend and waste my time down at Bugs Island Lake and Smith Mountain. I have never, and I've done this for probably, I went with somebody for about 4 or 5 years down there. And after I got saved and after I started going to church, the Lord says, hey, now I want you to be fishers of men. If you're fishers of men, if you're faithful to me, I'm going to allow you to have that fish. But you could go out there, you could go down there and you could waste $35, $40 in gas going down there. all of that. Get done at 5 o'clock in the morning, as soon as the daylight would come rise, the sun rise. You'd be down there to when the night fell, darkness. Spend all that time down there, hot, muggy at times, and didn't catch a thing. But then turn right around the next week and go down there. And you know, after a while, you know, well, you're going one time and you'll catch something. Yeah, you go back down and you'll catch a little bream like that. Or maybe you might catch a crappie. And you can't keep them, you got to throw them back in because they're not legal to take them out of there. They're that small. But you know something? There's no limit. God has not put a limit on none of us to where we can't go out and be a witness. He has not put a limit on none of us. And how many fish to where we can get them, we can lead them to the Lord if we know how to do that. And if you don't, maybe one Wednesday night, or maybe one Sunday night, or whatever, I think I'm going to have something like a soul winning. How to teach people that where you can go out and you can be a soul winner. There's so many things that we can do. But we need to do the first thing that we need to do. We don't need to sit here no more by ourselves and lonely and just try to hear something from heaven when God has got His ear tuned on Faith Baptist Church. And I know people worship the Lord in different ways. Some will cry. Some will shed tears. Some can just lift it up. Some will just say amen. But we need to let the Lord know that, hey, yes, Lord, we're here. Yes, Lord, I'm here today. Bless me, Lord, today. And if He don't bless me today, it's not because of Him. It's because of me. Because He has the blessings to each one of us this morning that is here. There's not an individual this morning that He has a blessing for. That's from the oldest to the youngest. He has a blessing for each one of us. He has a blessing for each and every one of us. But it's what we're going to do. Are we going to take it and we're going to receive that blessing? Are we going to take it and use that blessing to glorify Him? If we're not, if we're going to take that blessing and go to maybe have a home set up like that. He has a blessing. Will you keep? I want God's blessing. And if there's anybody here that don't want God's blessing, you just lift your hand up. Because I tell you what, if you don't want God's blessing on your life, you lift your hands up, and I'm going to right now, and I'm going to turn to God, I'm going to say, God, they don't want blessing from you. From God, will you send a blessing to me? I want all the blessings. I want all the love that He has for me. I want every bit of it. In that case, I want to be selfish. I want everything that He's got. But how am I going to get it? I got to do what He has me to do. I got to be like them four individuals back. It took that individual all the way to the house.
See, one thing I did forget, and I just thought about it. The four individuals that went to me, they deserve notice. Back in that day, if you heard a noise that was above the average noise, and where people was, a multitude of people was gathered around, the people would think, that's nothing to do. That's got to be the Messiah. So they said, well, we don't. And what it's going to take is going to take some of our energy together. But we're going to get into the same. We're going to get into what they can hear. I'm so thankful that he performs a miracle in my life each and every day. Each and every morning, each and every day, and he performs them all day through the long. I have something that I cannot thank him for. I mean, it's not, I can start thanking him now. Until the day he carries me home, I can start thanking him now until 24. If he'd let me live it, I'm still with him. I love him today. And as much as I love him, I love you. Because that's what he's about. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve God. And you cannot say that you love God. And you don't love people. You can't do it. It's impossible. He goes further than that. He goes then to where really it meets the rest. If you're supposed to love the individual, the patient, disrespectful, beauty. And how many people do we know that have done that to us? That hates us because of what? What we stand for. And who will serve it. And the people. Come in and use the church as a crutch. We need to do that. We need to come in and worship the Lord God Almighty. Everyone stand, eyes closed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus. For this day, we want to thank you for this time. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your forgiveness, and for your blessings of life, and your assurance that we can trust you, Father. We thank you, Father, what you're going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. We know, Lord, that all things is possible, Father. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that it only has to come through. Has to, has got to. It ain't no maybe so, hope so, or anything. It's a got to. It's got to come from thee for what you want us to do. Lord, you just speak to our heart. What you'd have us to do here where the church can be able to maybe grow, not in just where our members would just transfer from one church to another church and then transfer from this church to that church. But I'm talking about where the people that are saved that's in the world that has no church home or whatever, that they can come to the house of God here and they can feel at home. And Father, not only that, that the saved will also come in and they will consent something that they've never sensed before. Yes, they may have visited other churches, but Father, they have never sensed the love that is here. And Father, if there's anything that I can do for anyone, Lord, you just help me with that. Father, where we bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Page 222. There's a fountain. 222.
Any of you want to or would like to come to the altar? Anyone just want to come up here and pray for the church? Pray for one another. As we sing. Do what you have us to do.